Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastama Vidvishavahai. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we are on the chapter 6. And we did 41, right? One should relish the pleasure of Bhagavatam, reading among the devotees and not among outsiders. So 42, one should associate with devotees who are considered more advanced. So that's for our benefit. So then we can also advance by the association now with them. Again, many examples there. Narada Muni. So it's we have to really desire to advance. So if we have the desire, then we will naturally look for somebody from whom we can get more realization, get more knowledge, so then we also come to the same level. Yes?
So sometimes we have the desire to associate with more advanced devotees, but when we are in the association, there's kind of like no idea what to do. So should it be mostly for serving and asking questions, or just to associate?
Okay, so association means the principles of Dharati Pratigrihnati. Guhimakheti Pichati Bhungte Bojayate. So association means you can invite somebody for prasad. Nicely serve. Create very nice mood. You can give a gift. Or discussion. If you have some questions, so ask for darshan and then try to discuss something. And then reciprocate. Then you ask question, then you listen. Something not clear, try to clarify it. Then when it's still not clear, just clarify it further. And then until you get the answer clear for your situation, then you are satisfied. And you should not be just hearing from him, not just anything. Then how will you use it? I mean, it's nice. But if you don't know how to use it in your personal life, then it will not be very useful to you. So more advanced devotee means that somebody who can explain to us how to apply the knowledge which we have in our situation. That's the advancement. So we should use that. We should, if we don't have the intelligence to discriminate how to use it, we should use somebody else's intelligence. And that's done in the form of pariprashna sevaya. So you ask question, you get answer. So for that, you perform some service. And it can be, like the Dharati Pratigrihnati, Bhunkte Bhojate. But these six principles, they are increasing the intimacy among the devotees. So association means this. Either we give association or we take association. So in that way then we should not, it should not be considered like, okay, we give a gift, but there should be strings attached. That's not, no, we give something because out of, just we like to give. We may get two items, right? So then just we may give one to somebody else. We are not going to hoard it ourselves. For what? Or asking questions not just to prove that he is wrong or prove our supremacy over him, challenging. No, that's not the point of asking questions. Asking question is what I really don't know, and if I would know, I would follow. That should be the mood. Yeah, so if the mood is properly established, if the mood is followed, then we can very nicely advance by association with other devotees. And for us, then, okay, we will just be only looking for advanced devotees. And then who is less than us, then we will just get lost. No, I have no time for you. I have to associate with somebody who is more advanced. That's not true. Because as we are looking for someone more advanced who is not from us, then we are taking his association, we advance. But even by giving association, then we are advancing. And many times even more than just looking for more and more on the other side. The best way how to study is to teach it. Why? Because when you study, you think that you know everything. Just by reading, oh yeah, I remember, oh yeah, I understand. Somebody asks you, can you explain to me? Well, yeah, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Okay, I'll look into it, I'll tell you. We suddenly figure out that maybe we don't know so much. Because seeing it, yes, that's easy. But that's just the knowledge and maybe very shallow. But then application of the knowledge, we may completely miss out. And if it's not applied, it's useless. Completely useless. So the application is the main principle. One of the main principles in education. So all these have to be applied for the realization to come. Now the realization, it's also a process. It's not, it can be, there may be devotees who can surrender in a moment and they achieve Krishna Prema in a moment. There is nothing more for them to achieve. They are fully surrendered. Now they are with the Lord. But most of us, then it's a process. Process of freeing our heart from the anarthas, so then Krishna can enter the heart. But it may be just one by one. And there may be many. So as much as we free our heart, that much Krishna can enter. But we have to clear it fully for Krishna to fully enter the heart. So how we do it, that's not the endeavor which we put into it, this is our free will. Yeah, so it is a process. We may realize something. Wow, now it's winter and outside is cold in the morning. So that's a realization. And then when you keep walking outside and maybe freezing, and you are dressed like in summer, so then, in winter I feel cold. And then, oh, I got sick because I was not dressed properly. That's all realization. Or like fire. Oh, fire is nice hot. Put the hand inside. Oh, it's too hot. I got burnt. All and different levels. So as you, so now you know it's hot and don't put hand inside. But if you put some metal inside, it melts. And so many things can be done, but very careful. It's still hot. So you don't forget the first realization, but you are looking for the application of that last realization to get deeper into realization. And where does the fire come from? What is the application of the fire? What can it be? How it can be used? So then we get very much into the depth, and it's a process. So with education is the same.
On the same point, sometimes I don't feel like to bother like gurus with too many questions because I don't want to take up that precious time, and that's sometimes I feel I'm maybe not taking enough advantage when I have the opportunity for associating with like really advanced devotees. So are there a limit to what kind of questions we should ask people in the renounced order, for example?
It's a relationship. No. Many questions, not personal questions, which you may not feel like to bring up to your guru. So you may just ask some other devotees, whom you have some friendly relationship. But if you develop very close relationship with no guru, you can ask anything. But he has the free will to say, I'm not going to discuss it with you now. No, it takes a long time, or just I'm not into it. And he may give a reference, ask the devotee, he will be better. And then whatever he says, then we should follow. We should not think, he's not rejecting us, he doesn't talk to us. No, we should not have these sort of misgivings. We should just follow the instruction as he gives. So it is up to his own discretion, how he does it, what he does. And we just oblige. You have a question?
Just on this point about not disturbing the guru with questions. When my husband was a brahmacharya, he was serving my guru in my home, and he was thinking that he might get married soon. And he was sitting with the guru the whole day while he had darshans. And he said it was one lady after another all day coming in saying, "Oh, guru Maharaj, he says, "Well, oh my God, it's so mental." But anyway, so that's what they have to deal with. Like all day, just people with their personal problems. So it is good to be mindful.
Yes. Yeah. And many times if that happens, so then he may even set up. If some devotees have say questions regarding marriage or any other part of grihastha life, then please ask those devotees or that devotee here. They will help you. And whatever they cannot help with, then come up, take it up to me. But then devotees, especially like the disciples, should cooperate. There should be some. Yeah, because he knows the best. No, he's the ideal. He only knows. Nobody else knows like him. But there may be devotees. They know more. In certain subject matter than he is. So then he will anyway refer you. Yes. Yes. So it's but they are not so advanced. The feeling it's no. I get to see Guru Maharaj, So it's You have to be very careful not to have it sentimental. The sentimental approach, it's not the best. Yeah. And then, of course, 43, then one should chant the holy name of the Lord. So that's our process, that's our Abhideya. So that is, now we will discuss more about that, but that's the main point in the process of devotional service, and be it whatever, samana or, sarana bhakti or bhava or prema. Yes?
I had this question that I think almost every time you had next to the Russian class. Why is it that in the Panchatattva Mahamantra we pronounce Chaitanya and Advaita, but the same letters and syllables we pronounce Vaishnava and Vaidhi? Why is it not Chaitanya and Advaita? Is there some Sanskrit that...
How do you pronounce? How is it?
Means Chaitanya is C-A-I. We pronounce Che.
Yeah.
Vaishnava is V-A-I and we pronounce I. It's A and I. And two different sounds with the same letters. So I was told before that it was just something that developed that we pronounce Chaitanya the way we do.
Well, see, the Vaishnava, so then it's a V with I. Okay, it means, so it's Vai, Shnava. So, I think in the Sanskrit, you can have it, Chaitanya, or you can have it Chaitanya.
Okay.
So, as far as there are some rules, it can be, because Sanskrit is also very flexible language. There are strict rules, because it's very scientific. But it could be pronounced either way, like Nrsimha Mahadev. So Narasimha, half man, half, but it can be Nrisimha.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
So when we chant it with Swaras, then it's Chaitanya. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. What's the difference between Bengali and such?
Okay, and then the last one, 44, one should live in the jurisdiction of Mathura. So here you have it, the third time. So it's very important that one should live in the dham. And as we discussed before, live means not just physically, because one can be physically present but not be present. And at the same time, one may not be physically present, but he is present. So, these are 64 regulative principles for discharging devotional service. Which ones are the most important? Out of these 64 items, 5 items, namely, worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtan, and living in Mathura, are very important. So then, from what we discussed, then it should be clear now why these 5 are very important. Actually, Prabhupada says here very important. Some other places say most important. In Bhagavatam, I think he lists them, and Prabhupada says most important. Yes.
I have a question about the Kirtan.
Okay.
Prabhupada said there's regulations for us to chant japa. But some places it's said that the congregational chanting of the holy name is more powerful. I don't know exactly what that means, but we don't have any regulations so much to do kirtan as a vow. In the sense of like congregational chanting. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you see, first of all, chanting, there is no regulation for chanting holy name. Okay, so the time, place, circumstance doesn't apply for the holy name. So as we already discussed here before, so just very briefly. And chanting japa, it's mainly for your own meditation. So it's your bhajan. And so you may be chanting in a secluded place, and then you may be not just focusing, trying to focus on hearing the name and just not involve any other senses, just into it. Now, Sankirtan, then this is the congregational chanting, so then you go on Harinam and you sing. So you are also being engaged fully, and for some it can be very deep meditation. But for many it may be not just fully involved in the kirtan, so then they get the benefit of hearing the kirtan, but they may not get the feeling of that they did actually meditate on the holy name. But it's the main way how to preach. See, the devotees, bhajanandis, then they just, this japa is, this is what they do. But they don't preach. But our movement is a preaching movement. So for us, the preaching is the essence, is the best. Now, how would you preach? So preaching of the holy name. So we follow the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the holy name. And the holy name, how would you distribute? The best way is Harinam. Because everybody can take advantage of. So we do. And if somebody can be involved in Harinam 24 hours a day, then that is japa. But there must be full absorption. Absorption that he's not hungry, he's not thirsty, he's not thinking about anything else, only about the Harinam. So while doing Harinam, then he is remembering Krishna. So if he's always doing Harinam, then he is always remembering Krishna. So that will be ideal. But since we are not on that level, we can always do the Harinam. In fact, we always cannot do even the japa. So then we are involved in other services. If we could, then we would follow the Bhagavad Mark. And then be fully absorbed in the holy name day and night. But because we cannot do that, so then we follow the Pancharatrik Mark. That means that we are doing our duties as the sarana, but then the mentality, which it's still not purified, we engage in Krishna consciousness other way. So then while we are not chanting or not doing Harinam, then we perform other activities which are according to our nature. But preaching, it's the important part in our sadhana. So we should be preferring chanting among the devotees. We should not try to just be not see everybody, association should be there, and from the association then try to develop the mood of preaching. Yeah. And how do these principles help us in discharging devotional service? So the 64 items of devotional service should include all of our activities of body, mind and speech. As stated in the beginning, the regulative principles of devotional service enjoins that all of our senses must be employed in the service of the Lord. Exactly how they can be thus employed is described in the above 64 items. So, if you take these items, so then, again, you can find how you can use anything, how you can do anything throughout your day, throughout your life, and connect it to the Lord. So this is the purpose. So knowing these 64 items, then you are capable of executing devotional service. And as stated just before, so all these 64 items are connected, contained in those 5 items. So therefore, those 5 are the most important. So if we do worship the deity, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we chant the holy name, we live at the holy place, and then we associate with the devotees. So the situation which is very auspicious for the execution of devotional service has been established. Then again, it depends on our free will. Actually, what do we want? How do we want it? Yes. You see, nature, it's based on our ego. So the nature based on our original ego does not change. But the nature which is based on our false ego does change. So as the false ego gets purified and we start to understand who we are, then also the nature changes. Our problem is at the beginning, then we don't really know what our nature is, because we don't know who we are. So as we start to explore who we are by performance of devotional service, so then it's changing. We feel that before I didn't want to do something, now I don't mind. I didn't like be with people. I always wanted to be alone. But with the devotees, I'm so happy being among the devotees. I didn't like cooking. But now when I can cook for the deities, I can cook for the Vaishnavas, I'm so happy. So the nature changes. So and then we start to understand then who we are. Because the natural nature of the jiva is being servant. Now, what and how is the jiva going to serve the Lord? Then that's according to that jiva's relationship with Krishna. So we may not know it, but if we are very eager, and actually Srila Prabhupada uses that we should be very greedy for the devotional service. You should be very greedy to find out, to perform something, to do. So as we are performing, we are slowly, slowly coming to our original nature. So we feel that the nature is changing. But what actually we call it changing is only purifying. So we are now starting to see what our real nature is. So that's the process, that's the power of the process of devotional service. So we should first see what is our nature. Okay, we come now in touch with devotees and then we can do something. Okay, I'm good at something. I talk very good. So then, okay, maybe book distribution will be good because you can just go and explain to the people about the book. Or, yes, I sing very nicely, so then I can do some singing for the Lord. I can learn some bhajans and do kirtans and devotees will enjoy. It can be anything. So that my nature, even though it may be conditioned in the beginning, I will use in Krishna service. As I'm using it, I get purified. And then as I get purified, then there are things which I wouldn't do at all. But then when the nature gets purified, I wouldn't mind doing it now. So then we see it as actually changing the nature. But in fact, it's just a purifying the nature and starting to truly understand who we are. Because when out of affection for other person, we can do anything. There is nothing which we wouldn't do for somebody for whom we have a lot of affection. If we can, we are even ready to give up our life to save the other for whom we have very deep affections. And our life is the greatest treasure we have. So that's the power. So then when we purify our nature and we see Krishna, he is the master and we are the servants. So then we can do anything just to please him. Because the affection develops. But as long as there are some anarthas, then there will be some desires. Yes, Krishna is my master, I am the servant, but there are some limits. It's not everything. I don't have to surrender fully. Something, okay. But I'm not fanatic. I won't do everything. So the limitations are there. But as we get purified, then why not fully? Why wouldn't I do this for Krishna? Oh, because my father told me not to do it. So that's our conditioning. I am the son of my father. But as we get purified, we see, I am the son of the Lord. So that's the view, the angle of view changes. Yeah. So some questions. Yes. Okay.
And this is our relationship. And Srila Prabhupada told him that
you for that. Masters means master, so not fulfills the servant's desire, because if you do that, you never can be master. So I a little bit confused me, so I'm not understanding this way. What means fulfill our desire?
You see, the servant never expects the master to fulfill his desire, but the master always look after the servant's well-being. So Krishna, he comes and he serves Arjuna as a charioteer. But Arjuna, didn't force or do anything just to ask Krishna volunteer, because see, he is a supreme; he can do whatever he wants. He, by being a charioteer or being anybody else, he doesn't lose his position. He doesn't have the ego trip. Oh, if I don't show I'm the supreme, then nobody will think that I'm supreme and I will feel bad. He doesn't have that ego trip. So he can do whatever he wants, and he knows he is supreme. His devotees know he is supreme, and then that's enough for him. No. And some devotees don't raise his supreme, and that's even the greater relationship. Because then he can deal with them as with friends. So then the rasa, it's a very it's a pure rasa. And doesn't have to be that servitorship. It can be the higher rasa. But if you know that he is supreme, how can you develop really friendship, parental rasa? Or conjugal rasa, it's not possible. So, Lord, he enjoys that. And then, so he has the devotees to actually reciprocate in that. And that's what brings him pleasure. So all the devotees, they are into it. They are not just, they love him so much, they just, for him, they can do anything. So, it's up to him. It's Lord's sweet will. Now he can do whatever he wants. Same as we, right? We also can do whatever we want. Of course. I mean, when Lord does what he wants, then it always happens the way he wants. And what we, when we do something what we want to do, so then generally never happens the way we want. That's the difference. But when we understand and with our own sweet will, we accept the Lord as the object of our love. So everything, all the desires which we have will get fulfilled. And more. And Lord, when he sees that, he reciprocates. Because he sees, the devotee, he has such desire, then he fulfills, he has no problem. His only problem is that when he sees that there is some impurity in the mind, and if he fulfills the desire, and that takes him away from devotional service, so Krishna may hesitate doing it. But sometimes the devotees are very insisting, no, Lord, give it to me, like a kid, right? Like when Srila Prabhupada, when he was small, and then he was with his father, and he was really, insisting, putting finger in the fan. So, running fan, you put finger inside, and then you get cut. So, his father, then, he unplugged the fan, and then when it was moving slowly, he said, now stick your finger inside. He said, got a little knocked. Oh! And then he understood. Now it's slow, and then it hurt a little bit. But when it's fast, it will hurt much more. So since then, he didn't play with fan. So sometimes we need a little bit of reminder, or little to show what can happen, and then we learn from that. Because we can learn either by hearing, which is the best, and if not, by seeing others, how they... Some, like father may say, like, don't put your hand in the fire, it is hot. Some may listen and never put the hand in the fire, because father said. Some, maybe for somebody is hot, but maybe not for me. So then see others putting hand and getting burned. Oh, how did you get this burn? Well, I put my hand in the fire, not because I was stupid, and then I got burned. Then by seeing others get burned, then, well, but they are useless. No, they are just low class. I am much better. The fire will never burn me. So let's try it. So then we tried it. And then we get burned. And then what we do? Oh, I got burned. Okay, so I should not do it again. I learned my lesson. So I realized the fire burns. I will not put the hand there again. So either of three get realization. Simplest by hearing, by seeing, you get to see not the suffering, right? But still, if you realize it, it's not so painful. Experiencing yourself is very painful. But if you realize it, great. Once you realize it, it doesn't matter. You got the realization. How you got it? No, that's up to your nature. But you got it. The problem is with the people who stick the hand in the fire, it burns them, and then they say, oh, I got burned. This time I got burned, but next time I'll be better. I definitely will know. Make the fire not to burn me again. So stick it again and again and again and never learn. So those people don't get any realization. Those people don't learn. And you can see the application. A man, he marries, right? And then the relationship doesn't go well because he doesn't pay any attention to his wife and she is frustrated. So for him, it's her fault. So he gets divorced and marries another one. And then thinking, okay, this one will be better. And then, just thinking, oh, she is a bad woman. Okay, married again. And like that, they go, 7, 8 times. And even now in 70s, they still marry young girl. No, for what? No, it's just some gratification. And the feeling that I can always reject, it's everybody else's fault. That's Maya. It's nothing else. So, the problem that they will never learn. They will never realize. Once, Akbar asked Birbal, when does actually the man get self-realization, that at the when he is at dead bed, just before leaving, he must understand that he is going to die, so he must absorb himself and to get self-realization. And Birbal said, it's not like that. Some may get the realization at the young age, and some will not get it at all. And then Akbar said, I don't believe you. It's not true. So then after some time, then Birbal comes to Akbar. Okay, let's go. I'll prove my point. So and then they went to, and he said, Akbar also, take your daughter with you. So then he took the daughter with him, and there was a very old man, in his 80s, 90s, whatever, and dying. He was on his deathbed. And then, so Birbal comes with Akbar, and then they visit the man. Suffering, he was just about to leave. And then Birbal asked the young princess to come forward. And then when she came, then the man, immediately just seemed like the lusty desires. It was there. So Akbar immediately understood. There's no, without endeavoring for, without the association, there is no way how the person gets the self-realization. The self-realization comes through the extraordinary mercy of the Vaishnavas, of the Lord. And how to get that mercy, we went through that. We have to endeavor for it. We should not enjoy ourselves and thinking that Lord will give the extraordinary mercy whenever we wish. Ajamil, he is an exception to that. He was very, very fortunate. But because of his fortune, because of his special case, he is in Bhagavatam. So we should not think that we can also enjoy like Jagai Madai, do all kind of sinful activities, and at the end of our life then we will naturally go back to Godhead. It's not so. And Jagai Madai, they become devotees, and for quite some time they were great devotees of the Lord before they departed. So they had the mercy of the Lord. So we should also endeavor. And the endeavor comes by following these five principles. Associating with the devotees. Chanting of the holy name. These are the important principles. So if we can follow that, then we will come to the proper. Krishna says that. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, just surrender unto me, I'll protect you. So there is no doubt that under Krishna's protection, there is no fear. But we have our fear because we don't feel protected. And we don't feel protected because we don't want to be protected. We want to do things on our own. But unless we decide that we are seeking Krishna's protection, then he will not be able to act. Yeah. So some points, some questions. A few minutes left. Yes.
Do you know what is the reason why these five principles are not mentioned at the beginning of everything?
Well, here in this case, it's first you give the list, like we have the first 10 principles. Out of those 10 principles, then 3 are selected as the most important. And in fact, the 3 are one. It's about the guru. But the 3 are selected. And then you list through all the principles which are there to be followed in the process of devotional service. So that's ideal. You follow all. But focus on these five. Because if you capture these five, if you understand these five, how to execute them, how to actually follow, then all the other will be naturally followed. Because that gives you everything. That gives you the way how to associate, that will give you the way how to act in every situation. But then if you would mention these five in the beginning, then you may consider the five important and other unimportant. So it is better to list them all, explain, and you meditate on how do they apply to you. And then once you know the application, then seeing that they are all connected, and connected how? To these five principles. So then you know that it is the most important. But if you would consider these as the most important, then you may overlook the other ones, because they may not be important to you. Why should I bother with all these 59 if I just follow these five and then everything else just I don't need to bother with? But it's not the point. That may be our thinking, our mentality, just, okay, give me just the five and then forget the rest. No, the 64 are important. These are the basis. But they all interconnect into the five. So we should see the connection. Because then we can see that our activities connected to the Lord. It's not to just, okay, take five and reject the rest. Otherwise, why would Rupa Goswami not mention all 64? He has a reason. And the reason is, for our conditioning, we don't know how to expand these five. He did it for us. So these 64 items are how do we connect our daily activities in Krishna consciousness. That's it. No, they are also principles, like a sub-principle. You may say the real principle is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. How to achieve that? Then read Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, live in Mathura, know Harinam, and worship the deities. It's expansion of the principle. So it is a principle, but these principles are connected to the one main principle. Now those five are expanded, not in this 64. So they are not details. They are principles. But you have to understand as a principles. Living in Mathura. Can everybody live in Mathura? Well, you see, we say it because we consider Mathura as a Mathura city, which is somewhere in UP. But in fact, yes, everybody can live in Mathura. But what is the definition of living in Mathura? Right. So therefore, we have to understand how to apply that principle. So the principle is to live in the holy dham. The detail of it may be that we should physically be present in the holy dham. And if possible, it is the best. But if we don't have the opportunity, we can be in New York and be in holy dham. So we still maintain that principle. performing special service, no, say, during festivals. It's a principle. If there is the details may be, no, which festival, no, is the, but the principle is that I want to perform a service. During the day, not any other day, I perform some service, be it japa or be it something else. During the festival, it's a special day, so let's do special service. There should be special endeavor.
So that would be the expansion of the worshiping the
DT. Right. Yes. Every of the items you can connect to the five, and all five you can connect to the two, and the two connect to one. So there is always connection. We should be looking for the connections. If we find the connections, then like that we can find the connections of us, between us and the Lord. So then it's very clear what we should do. Why we don't do what we are supposed to? Because we don't know. Now, how does affect anybody, you know, if I say go to the temple or don't go to the temple? Or how does it affect anybody now if I follow the regulative principles or not follow the regulative principles? If we don't see the connection, then we don't feel bad not doing it or just don't bother with it. But if we see the connection, then we see the importance of that whatever we do, how does it affect our progress in our spiritual life? And how does it affect the Lord? The relationship. So that's all it's about. Okay, so then we have the essay then, and I'll give, I'll print the papers and then I'll give it to you, maybe after the class, for the next.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama